You're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show, making the world a better place, one show at a time. You're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show, making this world a better place one show at a time. At least we're trying.
The hardest working man in internet radio is my father, George Wilder Jr., and here he is.
All right, welcome everybody to the George Wilder Jr. Show, live from Chicago. If it's not live, then you're listening to a broadcast version of the show, which is okay, it's fine. That's what I love about it, the internet radio, just radio in general. You can always podcast the shows that you want to listen to for later when you have time to listen to them. You don't ever have to listen to this show live, but you can always download it and podcast it for your listening pleasure at any time of the day on at any time. And that's what I like about it. Even I listen to my own show sometimes at any time of the day or night, weekend, Sunday, whatever. You know, if I have the time, I listen, you know, to try to work out some of the kinks, if there are any kinks. But anyway, welcome to the show, everybody. You're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show, WTTTY on Blog Talk Radio. This is a Wilder project. And I'm glad to be here today. This is Thursday, because if you podcast it, it might be some other day. But this is Thursday recording, broadcasting live. You miss a show here, you will miss a lot. And try your best not to listen to anyone else but me. All right, let's get started. We are going to be talking about some of the things going on in Illinois. I know this show is heard around the world. I know that, but I do know that I live in the city of Chicago in the state of Illinois, and I'm very concerned about the what's going on or what's not going on, what's being done and what's not being done. And if you've been listening to the show, you know that I'm passionate about the city of Chicago and the state of Illinois, because I think this is a wonderful state. Too bad our politicians don't think that, especially Bruce Rauner. So we're going to have to do that again. I mean, I listen to talk shows. I listen to other Chicago talk shows. Of course I do. I don't see them focusing on and barreling in on this crap that's going on in the state of Illinois. Some of these guys mention it, but they don't stay in it. For me, they don't stay on the subject long enough, the topic long enough to have any to give me or anyone else who's listening some sort of understanding or traction. So I try to stay, like I said before, we don't have a budget in the state of Illinois, and it's ridiculous. For the second year or the second fiscal year, there is no budget in the state of Illinois, and that's ridiculous. And programs, people are being hurt and upended and thrown out of work. Programs are upending. The only, if the state is paying any money at all, it's because it's court ordered. They're talking about the lottery being affected again. The FBI, they're looking for their money. Everybody's looking for money from the state. The state owes a lot of money to their own vendors. Just like you and I have bills to pay, the state has bills to pay. But somehow Bruce Rauner, I'm going to say Bruce Rauner because there's so many bills, spending bills on his desk that he can sign right now, this minute, to get this state up out of the flux that he himself has put it in. The state is being torn apart, ladies and gentlemen, and I have to stay on it to try to help to bring it back, put it back together. And that's what's going to happen because this show, it's going to happen sooner or later because this show is about making the world a better place one show at a time. And it's just awful. My guest today, ladies and gentlemen, is John Buckle. I have a problem with names, I'll tell you. This is a weird one. John Buckle-Rally. I'm pretty sure if he comes on the show, he's going to tell me how to pronounce it. It's got about 15 letters in it. And it sounds like it's Italian. Actually, it sounds like an Italian name with 15 Buckle-Rally. I'm trying to put it into syllables, but I don't think I'm getting it. But anyway, Buckle-Rally or something. John Buckle-Rally is on the George Wilder Jr. Show. I'm doing my best to pronounce it. 20 letters in his name, so you know. I'm not the best at pronouncing names. They have to be good old American names for me, you know. Not that I'm, have anything against Italian names or anything like that or any other kind of name, but I don't have too much trouble pronouncing those kinds of names. Well, anyway, getting back to the mess that Illinois is in, Jim Egger, the governor of Illinois, said the other day in front of some people, lots of people, and I totally agree with him, that the state is in the worst shape it's ever been in 50 years. 50 years. And it's just heartbreaking to see businesses leaving, to see people leaving the state, leaving the city because of this and obviously crime. It's just awful. And it's uncalled for. It's just awful. People aren't being paid. I mean, the state is actually being, a lot of the people who are suing the state, suing Rauner for their money, for their payment, have taken the state to a collection court. Can you believe that? A big ass state like Illinois is being taken to collections because vendors and other people, including the FBI, want to get their money. The FBI says, well, you got to pay us for fingerprints and background checks and all this stuff that we have been providing to your state. We haven't seen any money. We're going to take you to collection court. I mean, the state of Illinois is just so in debt. It's a damn shame. And they're talking about raising taxes. How in the hell who's going to pay them? You're raising taxes, but there won't be anybody left in Illinois to pay them. See, this because, without the budget, without the crime, the mess, and all of this stuff, and the politicians and the assholes, and, people are leaving. Business are leaving. So who are you going to put the taxes on? Who are you going to ask to pay taxes? The poor? They don't have any money. They're working at low-paying jobs, or if they're working at all. Who are you going to tax? What are you going to tax? You won't have anybody here because there is no doubt about it, folks. Politicians are the ones for the mess that Illinois is in. Politicians are the blame for the mess that other states are in, especially Republican politicians, Republican governors. So we can surmise that really. And I want to say before I go on about this, Hillary Clinton has clinched the presidential nomination. Bernie Sanders has met with President Obama. I'm pretty sure President Obama said, hey, ma'am, why don't you get out of the race real gracefully? And I'm going to be endorsing Hillary Clinton as soon as we are apart. And that's what's happening. That's what has happened. So Hillary Clinton is it. So we have to get behind her because we Donald more mess about Donald Trump has been coming out about him not paying his bills, you know, and people suing him. They say he's got Donald Trump has around 60 lawsuits up his ass right now. I've heard it was more than that, actually, but I'm just hearing now that there are 60 lawsuits up his ass. Donald Trump has a long way to go. And I really don't think he's going to get it because he has too much baggage. He's bringing too much baggage into the White House. You know, he may get the job, even if he is voted in president of the United States, he may wind up impeaching him for this or that, you know. And the Republicans are, some are behind him, some are not, some are with him, some are just, they don't like him. So I do think that Hillary is going to get this, with or without Bernie Sanders, and with or without Bernie Sanders supporters, because a lot of them, I think about a third of Bernie Sanders supporters saying that they will not vote for Hillary Clinton. You know, but I'm thinking like this. I'm thinking that a lot of people who are voting or thought about voting for Donald Trump, you know, the more negativity comes out about Donald Trump, a lot of those people are pushed away from Donald Trump. And a lot of those folks said a lot of those Republicans say that they're going to switch their vote, their support from Donald Trump to Hillary Clinton. So if Bernie Sanders supporters refuse to support Hillary, then she can probably make up that balance of voters with the Donald Trump supporters who are dismayed at some of the things that are coming out in the press about him. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. I am in Chicago. I am in my studio, folks, and it is a great day here. And I hope wherever you're listening to the show, I hope you're having a great day, a beautiful day. And I'm going to say if you are having a great day, I hope you've enjoyed some of it so far. If you have not enjoyed some of the day, get out and enjoy the day. Even if you just take a 15, 20-minute walk in the sunshine, it's great, folks. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. I will be right back, folks. Thanks for tuning in.
You are now listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio.
All right, two major credit rating agencies downgraded Illinois' ratings. What else is new? Of course, you don't pay your bills. You get, just like you and I may have bad credit, a state can have bad credit. And that's what Illinois has. I mean, Illinois' credit ratings have been downgraded about 5 or 6 times since this guy's been governor. Downrated. That's bad news. That's not good. It means that if Illinois wants to borrow more money, they're going to have to pay a hell of an interest rate, or they will not get the money. And our schools are in the flux. I'm just hearing that the Illinois schools, the Chicago schools, may not open in the fall. May not, I mean, after the summer, they may not open in the fall. And get this, folks. There may not even be summer school where a kid may be failing a course or something. And they may not even have a chance to make that grade up because there will be no summer school. It's just tragic. And our dumb, stupid, asshole politicians are wrangling, pointing the finger at each other while the state falls, while Olympus falls. If you've seen that movie, it's a great movie. I love it. I keep watching it. Olympus Has Fallen. Now, there's another movie I call London Has Fallen with some of the same characters, but I haven't seen that one yet. And plus, I think it has a lot of bad ratings, but I'll be my own judge. Anyway, the state, two major credit rating agencies, I mean, they are always downgrading Chicago, downgrading the state of Illinois. It's just something that we just look past now. It means nothing. You know, but if you have bad credit and I have bad credit, we can still go out and buy things. We can still put things on our credit card, but we'll still be paying a lot more in interest. Outrageous interest, you know, because you are a risk. You're a risk. The state is a risk. So the lending agencies, they want to make sure that they get their money and get more. So this is a mess. Okay, Moody's Investor Service downgraded Illinois ratings to 2 levels above junk status. Whenever I see that word junk, I say, man, this is ridiculous. Citing the political gridlock, politicians, no budget. The legislature in Illinois have left for a few weeks on recess with no budget. And schools may not open. Colleges and universities are on the brink of closing and shutting down. Okay, with political gridlock, that prevented the state from getting a balanced budget for more than a year. A year. And I'm going to say this, folks. Governor Bruce Rauner has spending bills on his desk. He has a budget on his desk put there by the Illinois legislature. They've been sitting there on his desk, but he will not sign them. So this makes the state and the flux of this state, it's in the hands of Bruce Rauner. He cannot blame Michael Madigan. He cannot blame the rest of the guys and girls in the legislature. He is the governor. He takes the blame. He has those spending bills on his desk for months and months. He will not do it. He's going around the state right now, pointing his fingers back at Chicago, back at the legislators, back at the mayor, back at the public schools. Everybody's to blame but him. He's doing the right thing by letting Illinois fall into a damn river. You know, he's doing the right thing. A lot of the teachers and the students are very, very upset with Governor Bruce Rauner for calling their schools crumbling prisons. I spoke about this yesterday on the show. If you listen to the show yesterday, I mean, it was a doozy. I mean, I got in this guy's ass, and I hope somebody from his administration listens to my shows. They might learn something. You know what I'm saying? We might get a budget. But, you know, these people are steadfast in destroying Illinois and blaming someone else for it. All he's doing, and we know, in general, we can put the blame on all the politicians in Illinois, especially the ones in the legislature. He takes the brunt of the blame because he refuses to compromise. He refuses to sit down because he wants what he wants. He's saying, if you want the state to have a budget, and I've talked about this 1,000 times before, but it still goes. He says, if you want this state to have a budget, if you want the kids to have daycare, if you want the elderly to be able to eat and go out to a lot of those senior enjoy themselves as a lot of those senior programs and more, then you're going to give me what I want. And what I want is the bus unions. This guy wants unions badly. He wants unions. And in my estimation, this guy, he doesn't know the first thing about governing. He doesn't listen to anybody. He does things his way, and it has to be his way or nothing. But he's finding out quickly that's not going to happen. He is a failed governor. And then he's trying to take the word failure and throw it on someone else in the legislature, and it doesn't work. You know, if you call Bruce Rauner a failed governor, he'll turn around and use your words back against you. I've known people like that in my life. But that's crazy. I mean, that's nutty. He just have to learn how to govern. I think one of the older governors, former governors, I mean, he was giving a speech saying that he's an old governor trying to teach the new governor, which is Bruce Rauner, how to govern. Bruce Rauner doesn't know what he's doing. Like I said before, I think the guy is in over his head. I feel that he thought that becoming governor was going to be a cakewalk in the state of Illinois. I thought he was, because he's a billionaire, okay? So he felt that he was going to buy his way into everything. He bought the office, and now he wants to buy the legislature. He wants to throw all the Democrats out and put Republicans in, people who are going to do everything that he tells them to do. Yes, men, flunkies, minions, you know. He wants to put those kind of people in office. Right now, he doesn't have that because Michael Madigan has all the power. Michael Madigan has all the power. The unions have all the power, and the unions are backing Michael Madigan. Bruce Rauner has no power. He has none. All he has is executive authority, but other than that, he has nothing. He can cut all the programs and stop all the funding and shut down places of employment because of not funding some of these social programs, but he doesn't have the real power of a governor because he doesn't want to compromise. He doesn't want to sit down and talk about it. He doesn't want to vote. He's like it's my way or the highway type of a governor. He never has a Q&A with the public. He doesn't talk to reporters. He doesn't talk to journalists. He doesn't go on television and sit down in front of a moderator and answer questions and look at directly into the camera and talk to the people of Illinois. He doesn't do that because he doesn't want to do that. He's saying, to hell with the people of Illinois. This is what I want. I get it, or I'm going to destroy the state, and I'm going to blame the Democrats for it. This is what he's about. If you have listened to yesterday's show, I think it called it Illinois Governor or something, you would know this. And I know some of you out there probably, you know, saying, damn, he's still talking about Governor Rauner. But the thing is, I'm in the city of Chicago. I'm in Illinois. And folks, we're about to go over the damn cliff. We haven't got a budget. It's a mess. People are leaving the state. Even Bruce Rauner said that people are leaving Chicago, never mentioning that he's one of the reasons, you know. And, yeah, they're going to have to raise taxes. But, like I said before, who's going to be left to pay them? It's a mess. And the only way we can get out of this is by Bruce Rauner signing a few of those spending bills on his desk. The reason why he will not sign those spending bills, because they do not include his turnaround agenda. They give him nothing. So he's not going to sign it. He said, well, I'm not going to sign this legislation. I'm not going to sign this spending bill because there's nothing in here about bus unions. And the legislature keeps telling him his turnaround agenda should not be a part of a budget. Get a budget going for the state of Illinois, Bruce, and then they will sit down and talk about your concerns. But talking about your concerns and not having a budget is useless. And I agree with a lot of the reporters. I mean, Bruce Rauner is giving speeches all over the damn place. Michael Madigan, John Cullinan, these are the leaders. They're giving speeches. But these speeches don't mean a goddamn thing without some action behind those words. People are looking for a budget. The schools are looking for money. They're falling apart because there is no money. The teachers are up and quitting. The principals are leaving because they're afraid that there will not be any school this fall and they will be out of a job. They're going to be looking for a job elsewhere. They're going to be moving. But still, this is a crisis, folks. This is a real crisis, and nobody's moving. No, in the legislature, the politicians are not moving. They are not budging. They can't stand each other. They don't want to work with each other. And I can understand the Democrats not wanting to work with Rauner, because this guy is saying a bunch of nasty, rotten things about Chicago, the legislature, and everybody else. And I have said many times on the show, Rauner, you cannot govern a state, get your job done, if you have everybody hating you and despising you. Teachers, principals, children, students, everybody, you know, they don't like him. You know, I mean, he calls schools crumbling prisons. I have a kid in the public schools. I don't think it's crumbling prisons. There's been so many great people who have came from public schools, and everybody who is in public schools, who have graduated from public schools, should be appalled and offended by what he's just said, calling public schools in the city of Chicago crumbling prisons. You know, and there are a lot of people who really are. They're upset about that. But he's not backing down, and he's not going to apologize. I figured it to be a racist statement, okay? Because Bruce Rauner thinks the world of schools downstate Illinois. But upstate, they're crumbling prisons. They're crumbling prisons. And as I sit here today, there are thousands and thousands and thousands of students, teachers, principals, school directors, a lot of people downtown right now protesting Bruce Rauner. They're standing in front of the State of Illinois building, the building in which where I bank. But it's a government building, okay? And they're standing there. I'm pretty sure Rauner isn't there, but I know he knows about it. The thing about this is that Rauner gets protested everywhere he goes. He cannot move. There's a bunch of protesters everywhere he goes, and people are hounding his trail everywhere he goes because they're trying to keep – they want him to stop the madness and get a budget for the state of Illinois. Not only teachers, children, students, principals, I'm talking about other politicians, Republicans, Democrats, independents, saying to Bruce Rauner, stop the goddamn madness. Sign a spending bill to save our schools, to save our state. You're the governor. You're the governor. Why are you pointing and blaming someone else? The legislature has done its job. They have bills on your desk. You don't need them back. You don't need them back for anything. All you got to do is just sign it, and that's it. They've done their job. That's why they're gone. It's time for you to do yours. He's not doing his. But yet he's blaming them for this, that, and other. Oh, he blasts Michael Madigan. He blasts the hell out of Michael Madigan. I think that's the reason why Mike doesn't like him and doesn't want to work with him, doesn't want to give him anything. The only thing Michael Madigan and the legislature gives Rauner is a spending bill, a budget that he's supposed to sign so Illinois can come up out of this flux that it is in, but he doesn't sign it. And then he goes around saying that we have crumbling schools, everything's falling down. Of course it is, because you're not paying your bills. The state is not paying its bills. If a person rents an apartment and they don't pay their rent, you're going to get evicted. Your furniture will be set up out on the sidewalk. You don't pay your taxes on your house year after year after year, you're going to lose it. You don't pay the state doesn't pay its bills. You're going to get sued up your ass and then taken into collection court, collection, the collection agencies. It's just so stunning, folks. It's just so unbelievable that, you know, I have a problem even talking about this. Okay, you are listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio. I will be right back, folks. Thanks. Hey, folks, welcome back to the George Wilder Jr. Show. Hey, I have a cure for cancer. I got a cure for diabetes. I got a cure for stroke. I got a cure for heart attack right here. Did you hear me? I'm not joking. I have a cure to help prevent cancer. I have a cure to help prevent strokes. I have a cure to help deal with diabetes, maybe even reverse it. Heart attacks, and I'm going to tell you what it is right now. That cure is exercise. That's it, folks. 30 minutes a day. Walking, jogging, running, exercise. You will be cured or you will never have it. You'll never get it. I mean, this is just not me talking, folks. This is the medical industry. You know, so you'll be less likely to have a stroke over the age of 55 or a heart attack over the 55 if you exercise. Exercise is so beneficial. I can't believe there's so many doctors, there's so many fitness experts will tell you, and there's so many weight loss experts try to tell you that actually exercise will not do it alone. That's because the medical industry is profitable. They want you to keep paying money to go to come to the gym. You really don't need to go to the gym. You really don't need to have that expense. You can buy your own exercise equipment and put it into your apartment or your home. You can, if you don't want to do that, if you don't want to buy exercise equipment, you don't have to spend hundreds of dollars going to a gym. Having a gym membership when you can just do 30, you can just do 30 minutes of walking, 30 minutes of riding your bike, 30 minutes of jogging or whatever. But I would say walking is just as good as any exercise there is. And all you need is 30 minutes a day, 5 days a week, and you can stop the onslaught of a lot of these diseases. Of course, I'm not going to say anything about your diet, but it would help if you lay off the carbs, the sugar, maybe the flour, because these are kind of culprits. But the main thing here is exercise. There are some people who gut down two Big Macs, French fries, and go quickly burn it off. If you're going to eat a slice of cake, 30 minutes walking, just might save your life. Burn off some of those calories. But I'm not a doctor. I'm not a fitness expert, as you can probably tell. But this show is all about making the world a better place. And there are so many people walking around with diabetes. I've done several shows on diabetes, because it's something that kind of hits home a little bit. And I've had guests on the show talking about diabetes, and I've learned a lot about it myself. I'm pretty sure you've learned a lot if you listen to the show. But that's it. It's exercise. Exercise can cure cancer, colon cancer, some cancers, maybe all cancers. Exercise is the key, folks. Get up off that couch and move. If you just walk into the store for 15 minutes or 20 minutes a day, a lot of us, do not get exercise. That's why obesity is so high in the United States. Yes, obesity is rampant. And every time I see somebody who is clinically obese, my thinking is this person probably has diabetes or pre-diabetes and don't even know it. But once again, exercise will keep those diseases away from your door. And if you've had a heart attack, if you've had a stroke, continue to exercise. That's true. A lot of people have heart attacks, strokes, because they refuse to exercise. Smoking, give up smoking. That's one of the nastiest, filthiest things anybody could do. And it's appalling that I see so many people, young people, doing it, smoking. Knowing that they're ending their lives. Some of them don't give a damn. But exercise is good for all of those diseases and ailments that you have. Get up and move. Okay, we're going to play. I have a diabetes clip here. And this clip would probably tell you some of the things, same things I just told you. And here it is. Diabetes, folks.
What happens is that the diabetes, they tell you, is a chronic disease. And so this is what happens. And this is what happens in all studies. And if you've taken medications, you know this is what happens. So your sugars start out actually not bad. As you take the medications, the sugars actually comes down a bit. But over the years, it kind of, the effect sort of wears off. So then you wind up having to add more and more and more medications. So what happens is that no matter what drug you take, so these compare three drugs, metformin, glibride, and rosiglitazone. So no matter what drug you take, the initial effect is very good, up to about 6 months. And then after about 6 months, the effect kind of wears off, and you can see that the sugar slowly goes up. And so what happens is that you wind up on a second medication or a third medication. And this is pretty well what happens to everybody. So if you've had diabetes for a while, and many people have had it for 10, you know, 12, 15 years, what you find is that you start off on metformin, then you go to metformin and glibride, then maybe three agents or four agents, then you wind up on a little bit of insulin, then you wind up on more insulin and more insulin. And if you think about the diabetes, if you think about who has, you know, mild diabetes and who has severe diabetes, you can see that the people who are just on the little bit of metformin are, you know, have mild diabetes, and if you're on a lot of insulin, you have very severe diabetes. So in fact, over these years, despite what everybody tells you, your diabetes is just getting worse and worse and worse. So your sugars might go up, they might go down, but your diabetes is actually getting worse. And I think that's what confuses people a lot, because they think that the sugar and the diabetes are the same thing, but they're actually not. But over that period of time, you can see that no matter what, it's actually progressing, and they say it's a progressive disease. So this is the thing that you have to understand, that the sugars and the diabetes are actually two different things. So diabetes, the real heart of diabetes is the insulin resistance, okay? So that part is what's getting worse. The sugars is really just a symptom of the insulin resistance, okay? But it's not the actual diabetes. The actual diabetes is the resistance to insulin and the subsequent very high levels of insulin. If you want to think about it, you know, in a analogy, you can think about an infection. So if you have an infection, so you have a big, you know, infection in the lungs or whatever, that's the actual disease. The symptom is the fever, okay? So what you have to do is treat the disease, which is the infection, with antibiotics. You can't treat the symptom of the fever. So if you have a very bad infection, you need antibiotics. You don't need more and more Tylenol. So diabetes is the same thing. The disease is about insulin resistance, but the symptom is the high blood sugar. And yet all our treatment is directed against the high blood sugar. So you can see that controlling the high blood sugars actually doesn't do anything for you, because you're not actually treating the disease. The disease actually continues to progress. And that's the real problem. So up to about 5 years ago, we thought that treating the sugars would make you better, right? And this is what probably all of you have heard. Your sugars are doing fine, your sugars are doing fine. So if you think that the sugars is the same thing as the diabetes, then you'd think that the diabetes is doing fine. But it turns out about 5 years ago that they did three very large studies. And what they found was that no matter if your sugars were well controlled or poorly controlled, it actually didn't make any difference. You still got complications of diabetes. You still got the disease, you know, the heart disease, the strokes. You got the, you know, the eye disease, the kidney disease, all of it. So none of that was made better by controlling the sugars. And if you think about it this way, you can see why. Because you're not actually treating the disease. You're only treating the symptoms. So just like if you take Tylenol for an infection, it might make you look better, but it doesn't actually make you better. So this is the same thing. So the diabetes is the insulin resistance. So you have to understand what is the cause of the insulin resistance, and then you actually have to treat it. So you have to treat the insulin resistance and not the sugars. Now, at a certain point when your sugars are very high, yes, you have to treat it. But that's not what is really important in the disease. The real part of the heart of the disease is the insulin resistance. And because they don't really understand what causes the insulin resistance, they can't actually treat it. So all your treatments, all the metformin, all the glyburide, all the insulin, all of that is aimed at simply treating the sugars. So here's the real question. What causes the insulin resistance? And this is what's happening in the body. This is just a cartoon. So normally the insulin causes you to lower the blood sugars. That's what it does. As you eat, you know, your blood sugars go up and insulin is released to take that sugar out of the blood and into the tissues. And that's a normal thing. When you develop insulin resistance, the insulin doesn't seem to work as well. So what happens is that the body kind of pumps up the levels of insulin to make it work well enough to get your sugars out of the way. But the high insulin level is a result of the insulin resistance. But what causes the insulin resistance in the first place? And that's really what you need to understand in order to treat it. Because if you know what causes the insulin resistance, then you can treat it. And it turns out that it's actually the insulin that causes the insulin resistance. And that might seem funny at first, but in fact, that's what happens in most biological systems. So if you look at any other hormone, if you get exposed to it, your body develops resistance to it. So if you look at addictive drugs or alcohol or anything, or smoking or anything, as you take the first one, say for instance marijuana or cocaine or one of these addictive drugs, or you can take Valium or any of these anti-psychotics and stuff, as you take the first one, you get a real high, but every subsequent one is a little bit lower. So you wind up having to take higher and higher doses to get the same effect. And that's really resistance or tolerance. And it happens for all drugs. Insulin is exactly the same. As you take more and more insulin, your body develops more and more resistance to it. And now you see that it's actually a real vicious cycle, because what happens is that if your insulin level is high, then you get some insulin resistance. As you get insulin resistance, you get higher insulin levels. As you get higher insulin levels, you get higher resistance, and it goes round and round. So you have a vicious circle. And in fact, treatment with insulin now is not simply not effective. It's actually making things worse because you're feeding into that cycle. So while the insulin lowers your sugars, it is actually raising your insulin resistance. So in fact, it's making things worse. You're getting more diabetes by taking the insulin. And that's the real problem. When you understand the actual disease, you can see why current standard treatment is actually not only not effective, it's actually really, really, really bad for you. Because you're treating the exact, what is actually causing the disease is what you're treating it with. That's never going to work, right? It's just not going to work. So if you think about it, the problem is that the insulin level is too high. So you're not going to make things better by taking more insulin. It's like treating an alcoholic with alcohol, right? This is exactly the same thing. So the same thing happens in alcohol. If you take alcohol, the first one you get, you know, a real buzz, and then every subsequent one is a little lower. And what happens is that if you take the alcohol, your symptom, you feel a little bit better. But you're not making the alcoholism any better, right? This is the exact same thing. The problem is that your insulin levels are too high. So how can taking more insulin possibly be good for you? And the truth is that it wasn't. It was never good for you. In fact, it made things worse. But people didn't really understand that. And because they didn't understand that, they then made an excuse for themselves by saying that this is a chronic progressive disease. But the truth is that diabetes was not a chronic progressive disease, because we know that we can cure it in many cases. So if you do weight loss surgery or gastric banding or bariatric surgery, basically if you staple somebody's stomach, their diabetes goes away in like 90% of cases. So this was not a chronic progressive disease. This is a curable disease. So if you say that this is a curable disease, yet our treatment is making people worse, the only logical conclusion is that our treatment is completely incorrect. And that's exactly what it is. So when you're thinking about treatment of diabetes, there's a few things you have to consider. One, you have to understand that the key to treating diabetes is not to take more insulin. That makes things worse. The key is, how are you going to get those insulin levels really low? The second thing is that diabetes is a dietary disease, okay? Almost for sure it's a dietary disease. We know that. Yet, if it's a dietary disease, the cure is going to have to be dietary. You can't take a dietary disease and treat it with drugs and pretend that that's going to make things better. But yet, that's what we've done. We've taken a disease which is dietary in nature, and we've prescribed you drugs that suppress the symptoms. It's not going to make it better, and it hasn't. The last 30 years has borne it out. The third thing is that this is not a chronic progressive disease at all. This is, in fact, a curable disease, but you have to treat it the right way. You have to understand what you're doing. So one of the things we do in our clinic is that we are looking at ways of how to lower the insulin levels. And that's the real thing. And one of the simpler ways to do it is intermittent fasting. And that's why we have a lot of people on these sort of protocols. And one of the things to remember is that fasting has been done for many, many years. You know, everybody thinks that it's so crazy. Everybody hears about it first and thinks it's crazy. But you have to remember that fasting has been done for thousands and thousands and thousands of years. And not only that, but almost every single major religion in the world has periods of fasting that are prescribed. Not because, you know, of any particular reason, but they recognize that it is actually a very healthy thing for people to be doing every so often. And why is it so healthy? Because what happens is that when you fast, your insulin levels go down very low. Because you're not eating, your insulin levels go down. And having periods where your insulin level is down helps prevent that vicious cycle, right? It's the insulin that leads to the resistance, which leads to higher insulin. It's a vicious cycle. So if every once in a while, you know, you do Ramadan, which is a month of fasting, or you do, you know, the 40 days of Lent, or whatever it is you do, if you have a period now where your insulin level is very low, you're going to completely break that vicious cycle. And if you do that routinely through the year, then you will stay healthy. You will prevent the development of that resistance. If you don't get the resistance, you don't get the high levels. And that's what we do. So I'm going to show you here what we do kind of in a demonstration. So what we do in terms of the sugars, you can think about it this way. The body actually has the ability to store energy in two ways. So when you eat, you're taking in energy as food, right? So you can store that in two ways. You can store sugar and you can store fat, okay? So sugar is stored in the liver as something called glycogen. And there's a limited amount of glycogen that you can store in the liver, but it's readily available, okay? So it's kind of like a short-term storage, but you can store sugar. If you store more energy than fat, the body will actually turn that into fat, and that's kind of long-term food energy storage, right? So as long as you're eating, you're going to be burning that off. You're going to be increasing insulin, and insulin is going to tell your body to store some of that away, okay? So if you have too much sugar, what happens is that some of that is going to go into the stores. But as long as your stores are not full, it's not going to spill over into the blood. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to demonstrate it this way. Normally, as you take a little thing to eat, if you don't have filled up stores of sugar, what's going to happen is that you're going to fill it up a little bit, right? But it's fine. As you don't eat, so for instance, you eat dinner, you take in more calories than you can really use for that period of time. So your body produces insulin, and insulin says to the body, okay, well, I've eaten a big meal. I'll use a little bit of that as energy. The rest I'm going to put in storage as sugar, okay, because that's what I do. So it fills up the storage, but the storage is empty, so it's fine. Then you go to sleep, so for the next, you know, 9, 12 hours, you're not eating. So what happens is that your body is going to take that, and it's going to burn it off as energy. So that's fine. That's the normal situation. Now what happens in the diabetic situation is something like this. So over time, your storage is, you know, empty. But over time, as you kind of continue to eat more and more, what happens is that that storage kind of gets filled up. And now here's the situation in diabetes. this is your storage levels of sugar, right? They're completely full, right? And what you do when you eat is this. You're going to take in a meal, and you're going to have more sugar. And what's going to happen? It's all going to spill over into the blood, right? So the blood sugar levels go up. There's nothing it can do. It can't store any more. So for a while, your body can compensate. But what does insulin do? So now you're diabetic, and this is what happens every mealtime. Your storage is filled up. Every time you eat, the sugar spills out into the blood. Well, as you take insulin to take care of that problem, the body is going to take that excess sugar and force it back into the body. So what happens to that? Your body is just going to store it as fat. In other words, the insulin is going to make you gain weight. And if you've ever taken insulin, you know already that's exactly what happens. But this is the problem. If you continue to do this day after day, year after year, all you do is gain weight, right? But it doesn't make you any better because all that sugar is still in your body. So it's kind of like that show Hoarders. I don't know if you've seen it, but people, you know, hoard too much stuff and their house is full of stuff. So pretty soon the stuff flows out. And what happens? If you're taking insulin, all you're doing is taking all that garbage and shoving it back into the house. Well, that's not going to help. That's not going to make things better. In fact, over time, it's just going to make things worse. And that's exactly what happens in the current treatment of diabetes. So this is what we do instead. If your cup is completely full, the only rational treatment for diabetes, so this is the situation now in diabetes, your cup is completely full. The only way that's going to make you better is to start draining it off. So that's what you do. So as you fast, what happens? A little bit of this water is going to come out and it's going to get burned off. The next time you fast, a little bit more of this water is going to come and it's going to get drained off.
Oh,
every single time you do it. So when you eat, it will fill back up a little bit, right? But as you go, what's going to happen is eventually your stores are going to come down and it won't spill over into the blood. You're basically just forcing the body to burn off that sugar. But as you do, you reduce the stores of sugar and you get better. Your diabetes gets better because now you're burning it off. It's like that guy in Hoarders. Instead of shoving it back into your house, which is what the insulin does, we're just going to throw it out. And really, that's really the reason that we do this. You have to lower insulin levels, but you got to get rid of that sugar. Okay? You've stored up too much. And it hasn't been stored up over like a month. It's been stored up over like 10 years, right? So the thing is that it's not going to reverse in a week or a month or 2 months even. Yes, if you do fasting every day, it will reverse faster, right? Because you're getting rid of that sugar every day. So this is what we do. And a few patients actually have been kind enough to share their stories with us. Well, I'll present a few other cases because we've had, you know, quite a number of people go through the program. So I'll just share their stories with you quickly because really it illustrates really how powerful this new concept is. So the first case we have is Richard, who's here today. And so he's had diabetes for about 10 years now, and he's had a few complications, including some kidney disease, which is why he was here in this office. And he saw a colleague of mine, Dr. Ting, and so he was referred into the Intensive Dietary Management Program, and we started him in June of 2013. And we started him with a fasting regimen as opposed to the amount of insulin that he had. So this is Richard and his wife. Oh, I can't see that very well. And this is what's happened to his weight. So his weight, starting just above 250, has been steadily coming down. And it's down to 210. His waist size has continued to come down. And his hemoglobin A1C, which is the measure of his sugars, has stayed relatively stable, below 7%. And this is him now. So if you look at what has happened to his insulin dose, so he started off with 55 units of insulin. And within, 6 weeks, he was off of all his insulin. In other words, his sugars are doing fine, and he's off of all his medications completely. And his levels of A1C are no longer at a level where you could make the case that he is diabetic. In other words, you could say that his diabetes has been cured. By using these kind of simple understanding of diabetes, you can see that this is actually the rational, but also the natural way to cure diabetes. We're not talking about piling on more drugs for you. I mean, you go to some of these places, they'll tell you to take these experimental drugs and they'll want to sign you up for drug trials. No. What we're doing has been done for thousands of years and is in fact exactly the way they used to treat diabetes. But they understood that it was a dietary disease. It has to be treated with dietary measures. This is the second case, Balraj, who's here this morning as well. So he was diagnosed in 2003 with diabetes, and he also had some complications of that. And so, after treating him incorrectly for many years, I started him on the intensive dietary management program because, back then I didn't understand much of this myself. Much of this is new. So he started in August. And so his weight has come down a bit, but, he started at 186 and he's come down, 8-10 pounds or so. His waist has come down, but you can see his sugars, his hemoglobin A1C has stayed very good. And this is his medications. So again, starting at over 40 units, about 40 units a day of insulin. So this is what he had to take. Within 5-7 weeks, he was down to zero. He was no longer taking insulin. He's no longer taking any medications for his diabetes, which again, you could say, if your sugars are good and you're no longer on any medications, you could say that your diabetes has been cured. In essence, what we're doing is exactly the same thing we do with the stomach stapling surgery. So the stomach stapling surgery, the cure rates for diabetes are like 90%, but the benefits are because of the fasting. They cut your stomach so you can't eat. In other words, you're fasting. But if all the benefits come from fasting, why do the surgery at all? It doesn't even make sense. Just do the fasting. This is another case. He's not here, but he's a 45-year-old Filipino man, and he was just recently diagnosed with diabetes. He started with a hemoglobin A1C of 8.7%. So anything over 6.5% is considered diabetes. Anything over 7% is diabetes, but he was newly diagnosed and he really didn't want to start any medications. So I said to him, well, if you don't want to start medications, then come into my program and we'll treat you. And we'll treat you and therefore you won't have to take medications. So it had been slowly rising over the last 6 months. And what happened was that he started in June. His weight, again, came down. It came down about 3 kilos, but his A1C continuously came down. So you can see that his final A1C at the end of 10-12 weeks was 6.3%. So again, at a level that you wouldn't be able to say that he has diabetes. So in other words, this fellow, instead of taking medication and then later taking more medication, then more medication, then more medication, we're able to treat him right off the bat with a dietary regimen, and he's been able not to take any medications. In essence, his diabetes has been cured. So again, lots of cases. Another fellow, 66-year-old Chinese man, much the same story. Type 2 diabetes, which was recently diagnosed in 2012, and you can see that his sugars were really high. His A1C was 10.5%. I told him to try different things, but I just saw him actually in September of 2013, and his A1C was still 9.4%. And he didn't have a drug plan, so he really didn't want to take any medication. So I said, well, if you don't want to take medications, come into the program, and that should say September 2013. So we started him a few months ago, and this is what's happened. So as he's following the program, his sugars are coming down, exactly what we would expect. And as you follow the program longer, you're burning off those stores of sugar, and your hemoglobin A1C is coming down. So he went from 9.4 to 8.4, and I just saw him at 7.3. So again, all without medications, and I'm hoping that he will never have to take medications. Another case, Desmond, He had some heart problems. He also had diabetes, and he's here this morning as well to share his story. He also had a bit of complications, the heart disease, the neuropathy. And this is what we did. Again, with diabetes, it causes all kinds of problems, right? So you get heart problems, you get kidney problems, you get eye problems, all kinds of problems. And the thing about it is that there's nothing we can do about those kidney problems or those eye problems because it's the diabetes which is killing the kidneys, the heart, and all that sort of thing. If you don't do anything about the diabetes, you can't do anything about the kidneys or the eyes or anything else because the root of the problem is the diabetes. So you have to take care of the diabetes. And the way that we had been treating him was making the diabetes worse and worse. So we started him on the program, and again, his weight has been slowly coming down, as you might expect. His waist size has come down, and his sugars actually have stayed very, very good. But if you look at his doses of insulin now, again, starting at about 25 units a day, we're able to bring him down, and now he's no longer on any insulin. We switched him instead to one of the pills, which is, you know, for many reasons, is much better. It's safer, it's much less, you know, you don't have to poke yourself all the time, you don't have to check your sugars all the time, but really he's been able to come down of all those medications. If your medications are coming down, you're coming off of the insulin, you're going on to pills instead, it means your diabetes is getting better, right? Before, every single year your diabetes was getting worse, and now for the first time, we see everybody's diabetes getting better. It's reversing because instead of having higher insulin levels leading to higher resistance, now we have lower insulin levels leading to less resistance. So you're actually driving that cycle now in reverse, and that's why it's working so well. And that's just a recent picture of him now. A couple more cases. So Frank, who couldn't be here, we asked him to be here, and he said that he's... I think he was away, so he couldn't come, but he did want to come. He also had diabetes and kidney disease, and he actually didn't really want to start. He calls himself a grumpy old goat because he didn't really want to start. He didn't think it was great, but I kind of talked him into it. I said, you know, you really should try it because there's nothing to lose by trying it. If you don't like it, then you don't do it. But we were able to start him on the program, and you can see here again, his weight is coming down nicely. His waist size is coming down. His sugars are improving almost every single time. And if you look at his doses of medication, again, he started on 45 units a day of insulin. By the time we finished with him, he's on no insulin, and he's just taking a pill. So again, you can see that his diabetes is getting better. His sugars might go up and down. The sugars actually get better as you treat the disease. Just like if you treat with antibiotics, your fever goes away. Because your disease is getting better. You don't have to treat with Tylenol because if you get rid of the infection, the disease, the symptoms go away. It's the same with the diabetes. As you treat the diabetes, the high sugars goes away because the high sugars was just the symptom. You can't...
I've said it once. I've said it many times on the floor. Once again, total power in one person's hands. Not the American way. These damn bills that come out here all the damn time... Come out here at the last second, and I gotta try to figure out how to vote for my people. How ashamed of are you? You should be ashamed of yourselves. I'm sick of it. Every year, we give power to one person. It was not made that way in the Constitution. He was around when it was written. Now we give it. We pass rules that stop each one of us. Enough! I feel like somebody trying to be released from Egypt. Let my people go! My God, they sent me here to vote for them! They sent me here to vote for them!
Wow, that was straight to the point. I love that little short video about one of the state representatives being pissed off because... Actually, he's being pissed off because there's nothing for him to do. There's no budget. There's no voting on anything. There's no compromising. So all of these guys can do, most of them can do, is just pick up their paycheck and go home, which is totally, totally outrageous. Okay, Elizabeth Warren. A lot of people are saying Elizabeth Warren should be the next president, next vice president, that she should probably be Hillary Clinton's pick to be vice president, because she is, I mean, since her tenure as senator, the senator of Massachusetts, she has really been a fiery voice for progressives. She really has. And every day, I admire her so much. She really gotten Donald Trump's ass. She called him a blowhog or something, or that he's thin skinned, as Hillary called him, and that he's loud and blusterous, but he's just this unknowledgeable of state affairs. And he is. He totally is. Okay, and hundreds of people allege that Trump doesn't pay his bills. Just like it's a mirror, if I can say it, it's a mirror to Governor Bruce Rauner, because he doesn't pay his bills. And that's why the state has been downgraded twice. That's why he is being sued up his ass, and the state is being taken over by collection agencies. As I've said earlier on the show, this is crazy. And let's talk about Warren set to endorse next VP, Veep next. I'm pretty sure it may be her vice president. It could be her. She's just a sweet old lady, but she's not. She's actually young. She just has that petite of seeming to be that little bitty old lady, but she's in my eyes, she's kind of sexy, but she's one of my favorite people, and she's out there. She's for the people. She fights for people, especially for women's rights. She's a great lady. She's a wonderful lady, and I would endorse her in a minute, in a heartbeat, if she was just run as Hillary Clinton's vice president. Who knows? Hillary may pick Bernie Sanders to be her running mate. That would be great. She needs somebody with some strong backing. Hillary does. And in my opinion, I think Elizabeth Warren brings that. And I totally think that Bernie Sanders brings that. And I'm pretty sure that Hillary Clinton thinks that too. She needs someone to run with her as a strong backing person, someone that can bring the votes in, bring other votes in. As with Donald Trump, who knows who his vice president pick is going to be? My thing is, it may just be Sarah Palin. That would be a laugh. That would be a sure loss for Donald Trump, because I don't think there's too many people in America are taken to Sarah Palin. Okay? Boy, she's good for a laugh. I'm telling you, she is good for a laugh. I mean, I think she has a lot of talent, but in another arena. What I mean is I think Sarah Palin could do better doing something else besides politics. In politics, she has no talent at all, but in another arena. She's had television shows that were axed, canceled, because people just didn't like her, so why would they want to watch her shows on cable? I never watched them. I never cared for them. But anyway, Trump could wind up picking Sarah Palin. But if he had any sense, he would not, because he should know that America is not going to vote for Sarah Palin. Believe me, the moment she opens her mouth, it's all over. The moment she opens her mouth, it's all over. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio, and I'm all over the place. I'm still in my studio, and it is great, folks. It looks good. It's, what time is it? 7:14 p.m. straight up Chicago time, Central Standard Time. All right, once the show is over, we got about how many minutes? Maybe 15, 16 minutes more into the show. I want to say, please join me next week, starting Monday. I'm going to be off for Saturday, Sunday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, starting tomorrow. I need to get some writing done, at least for this one last time. Anyway, next week, is I have a whole slew of guests every day next week. But the primary, but my show will be focused on commentary and political commentary, you know. And I, not to put my guests aside or anything, I have great guests all through the month. Okay, so I want you to join me for that. We have great guests for next week. We have Marion Goodman. She will talk about her book, Too Much Togetherness. And on the 14th, Tuesday the 14th, we got Mike Vinnie. He's going to talk about mental health. The 16th, we got Kelly Baez, Dr. Kelly Baez. Wow. And on the 16th, we got Shenandoah Shuffalo, something like that. Anyway, I told you I'm bad with names, but anyway, we got a whole slew of guests for from Monday through Thursday of next week. Remember, this show is only on from Monday, Thursday, starting at 6 p.m. every single day, folks. Every day. I love doing this show. I love you listening. I love you podcasting. I know you're out there. I know you're listening. I know you're podcasting because it is there on the board. All right. You've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. Let's go see. Let's move right along here. All right. If they do a good job, I won't cut them. He's talking about contractors, folks. That's a quote from Donald Trump. He's talking about contractors who work on his buildings and casinos and whatever else he has. And he's saying they're saying that some contractors work on his buildings. Some of them don't do a good job. So he's saying, why should I pay them if they don't do a good job? But if they do a good job, I won't cut them and I will pay them. Okay, Trump is not having a good week. He didn't have a good week last week. He didn't have a good week this week. We will see what kind of week he will have next week, you know, and some of that stuff will be reported on this show. All right, Obama just endorsed Hillary Clinton, and a lot of people are thinking that Clinton will be another third Obama term, and I'm one of them. I do think Clinton will be a third Obama term. Yeah, but one of the things, she will not be African-American. That's one thing. And because like I said before in back shows, a lot of the prominent African-American leaders are so disappointed in Obama. But even though his ratings are high, people are giving him high marks, I guess because of the stupidity of the Republican Party. But however, a lot of African-American leaders, a lot of African-American prominent speakers, they are dissing Obama. I mean, you got some journalists who are dissing Obama. And, you know, in some cases, I'm dissing Obama because I don't think he really has done anything for them, for African-Americans, people who have gotten up out of their beds, their hospital beds, to vote for them, to vote for him, people who have put nickels and dimes together to get to the polls to vote for him. I don't think he's done anything for African-Americans in general. I think he's done, and I don't think he's done anything with Hispanics, really. I think he's a lot of mouth. You know, he talks good. He looks good. You know, he's gracious. But that don't get it. Yeah, Obama's done a lot of things. There's no doubt about it. But he's done nothing for black people. And a lot of people are saying he's one of the greatest presidents we ever had. I totally disagree. Hey, inbox me if you have another opinion of it, but I totally disagree, and I have facts to back it up, and I have people with me on that. I'm not saying he's the worst president that ever was. No way. I think it was George Bush, basically. Obama, I mean, he bailed out the banks. He bailed out Wall Street. He bailed out this. He bailed out that, but he cannot bail out the Chicago public schools. Why not bail them out? You know, I put some of this on Obama. You know, he could bail out. I mean, this is supposed to be his, Chicago is supposed to be his home. I mean, we're having all this, we're having this rogue governor just destroy the state. I think Obama should have stepped in and said something and done something. He's the president of the United States, for God's sakes. But I'm pretty sure he's got a lot of excuses for not stepping in. probably one of them is probably he's afraid. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. 10 more minutes left into the show. We're going to have to move on, folks. Let's see. Marco Rubio, Trump shouldn't get nuked codes, but I still back it. Oh, wow. This is crazy, folks. You got Republicans who are dissing Trump. They don't like him. They don't want him. They can't stand him. They think he's crazy, unknowledgeable. They think he gets pissed off too quickly. But yet, they're going to still vote for him. They're going to still vote for him. That's crazy. And that's nutty. You know, I mean, would you do that if you didn't like somebody, if you didn't trust them, if they were buffoons and bullies and bigots and racists, would you still vote for that person? No. But the Republicans, they are embracing Donald Trump. But some Republicans are steadfast. They say they cannot vote for Donald Trump for nothing in the world. They will not do it. It's just not going to happen. And I can understand that, too. But then you got Republicans. Well, yeah, he's an asshole. He's a bully. He's a bigot. But I'm still going to vote for him. I'm going to support him. Wow. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. I'm in my studio. We're just about off the air, folks. I think we got about 9 more minutes into the show. It's been fun. It's been great. We're going to take a 3-day off, but we will be back here on Monday. I hope you join us. Believe me, I hope you're here, if I can say this. It seems that I've been stumbling over my lip lately. And it's been great. It's been wonderful, folks. All right, we're going to do this. Wow. Welcome back. Welcome back to the George Wilder Jr. Show. I'm looking at a photograph of Marilyn Monroe. And a few days ago, she would have turned 90 years old. Can you imagine a 90-year-old Marilyn Monroe? I can't. I really can't. But she's been gone for, I think, since 1962. And the authorities still can't figure out if it was murder or suicide. And, you know, from my understanding, from my research, they can't still figure it out. They haven't ruled out anything. But she's been dead over, what, 50 years, 51 years? Well, anyway, she would have been 90. Can you imagine? Okay. You're listening to the George Wilder Jr. on the George Wilder Jr. Show. Yeah, it's still a great day in Chicago, folks. It's 7:27. We're just about off the air. It's a good day in Chicago. It's a great day. And take this with you. Chicago is a beautiful city. It's a beautiful state. Illinois is a beautiful state. Yeah, we have crime. We have our knucklehead politicians. But it, in general, it's a beautiful state, and we will not let the politicians and the rat asses tear it down. This show is all about making the world a better place. It's also about making Illinois a better place because the politicians themselves are screwing it, have screwed it up. Chicago is a great place. It's a great city. It's a beautiful city. We just have some knucklehead politicians who do not appreciate that. These people are supposed to be representing the people of this state. They're representing nothing but themselves. Police officers better get up off their asses and solve this crime problem. My understanding, they have plan after plan after plan, and it don't work. It doesn't work. So something has to give, folks. Something has to give in the city of Chicago and the state of Illinois. And this is why I harp on it a lot of times, because like I said, I am a resident and I'm very concerned, and I'm going to fight for my state. I'm going to fight for my city, and I hope you do the same. All right. You've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. I will be back on Monday starting at 6:00. I hope you join me then. Bye-bye, everyone. And thanks. Oh, man.